Scripture says that God our Savior desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But what is the truth? And how do we gain that knowledge? The answer to these questions and more in today's edition of Faith with Father. Living Bread Radio presents Faith with Father, a program aimed at teaching today's culture the truth about the Catholic faith. And now here's your host, Tim Perry.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of Faith with Father. I'm your host, Tim Perry, and with me today in studio is Father Don Feit, currently administrator of Little Flower Church in Middle Branch. Welcome, Father.
And thank you so much. It's good to be here, Tim.
Yeah, it's good to see you again. This morning we're going to continue our discussion from the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church. We're discussing the Ten Commandments, and we're continue our discussion on the Eighth Commandment. And the Eighth Commandment, we're talking about telling the truth, which requires discretion and confidential communications. And one of those confidential communications is when we go to confession. And when I'm telling the priest my sins, confessing my sins, and knowing that without a doubt, he will not share those with anyone else, even another priest.
That's right. That would be the most awful sin, I think. In fact, if I commit it, the bishop has every right to remove me from the practice of the priesthood, not to mention a severe penance I would receive, because that would be the most awful of sins, to reveal somebody's what they have talked to me about in the confessional that is kept so confidential. Perhaps you've heard the story of St. John Nepomucene. I was so amazed. I went in the year 2000. I had the privilege of going to the Oberammergau Passion Play, and all through that section of Europe, they paint pretty things on the outside of their homes, including the pictures of saints and Bible scenes. And almost every home had this priest on it. And I asked the local people, who is this priest you love so much that he's on the outside of your homes? They said, St. John Nepomucene. And why do you love him so much? Because he knew how to keep his mouth shut. he was confessor to the queen, I think, in maybe Bohemia, but I forget just the section. But at any rate, when the king suspected his wife was being unfaithful, he decided, I know how I'll find out. I'll ask her confessor what she was telling him in confession. And of course, Father refused absolutely and scolded the king for even wanting to know such information. He persisted by saying, well, I'll punish you if you don't tell me. So he was put in prison. He was eventually tortured. And finally, he was executed. But he never revealed anything of the queen's confessions. And so Wow. He is considered a real hero of the people there because he knew how to keep the promise he had made to God.
And in reality, Father, when we go to confession, it's Jesus Christ himself through the minister or through the priest who's actually forgiving the sins. You're basically like an administrator for Christ here on earth.
Or an ambassador, that's right.
Or an ambassador.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's actually Christ who's forgiving us our sins.
That's right.
And
he asked me to speak the words.
You know. Much like when you mm-hmm. baptize a baby or marry two people.
Yeah. But, you know, Tim, people will ask, you know, what if you know something, Father, that if you would reveal that sin that you heard, it'll save somebody's life. Wouldn't you be obliged to tell? You know, the police, for example, if you knew somebody was committing a crime, wouldn't stopping other people from being molested or even killed, wouldn't that take precedence over the person's right to their privacy that they came with their sin? And I have to say no. The protection of the sacrament is so important that my obligation in a case of a sin confessed that should be told to the police is to tell the penitent, you must take your crime to the police. You have an obligation to do that. I have to put it back on their shoulders to go to the proper authorities to save people's lives or whatever the situation is. But again, as confessor, I must keep that secret very completely.
Okay, well said, Father. And again, we don't even have any idea or any clue and can't imagine how much grace we receive once we go to confession and lift our burden off of our shoulders by confessing our sins and getting that guilt off of our chest and off of our soul.
Right.
And giving it to God through the priest.
Amen. And that's why I think we're wise to come up with some battle plan for the future. If I have a tendency, in the, especially breaking this commandment, if I gossip on a regular basis, or if, even if I lie regularly, I need to have a battle plan for how I'm going to address that, how I'm going to keep reminding myself. I remember one woman told me she put coins, I guess, in a little box or something for some charity, you know. But every time she knew at the end of the day, I've committed that sin, in went a quarter. And when she saw how the dollars were starting to add up, it made her more conscious of the sin. And so she said, I really began to get under control.
And as a grade school attendant of Sacred Heart of Jesus grade school in Wadsworth, the nuns taught us to go to confession on First Saturday. So we would get in the habit of doing it once a month. Mm-hmm. And again, what that did for me, it got me in the habit of regularly examining my conscience so that I would have a well-formed conscience. And then, of course, making a good confession by expressing true sorrow for my sins.
That's right. And you mentioned that well-formed conscience. I remember the debate that took place about this catechism before it was finished. There were some who thought, you know, the Ten Commandments are from the Mosaic times. And with Jesus, maybe we should have it just be the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe we don't need the Ten Commandments in our catechism. And those who are working with Pope John Paul II, Cardinal Schönbrunn and the others said, no, we need the Ten Commandments. Jesus never did away with them. He said, I come to fulfill them. So I'm so glad we kept these commandments.
Well, that's what the young man said to Jesus, what must I do to attain eternal life? And his answer was, if you love me, keep the commandments.
That's right.
And he said, I do that. What more must I do? He says, well, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And he walked away sad.
Yeah.
So the commandments are still relevant today in 2013, 2014, and beyond.
That's right.
Because that's the law of God.
Yeah. And, you know, let me say this, Tim. One of the words that's used in here, it says, what does it mean to be truthful? It's that you act sincerely and honestly. I want to mention that word sincere. I remember hearing from one of my seminary professors the origin of the word sincere, that you're a sincere person. It comes from two Latin words, sine sera. And I'm not sure my pronunciation is right after so many years away from the study of the language, but sine without, sera is wax. And it refers to the time when they used to ship in, you know, the Italians, how they loved to decorate their estates and so forth with beautiful statues, not just the churches, but even their homes and yards. And there was a time, I guess, when many of the Grecian temples and that had been fallen into disrepair or even were destroyed by war between the different armies of the time, many Greek statues would be brought to Italy, see, and people were willing to pay a high price for these. But sometimes they were damaged. And so people would sell damaged goods by using wax. Say the nose was nicked or the ear was nicked on somebody's head. They would use wax to repair, see, and then paint over the wax so it would look like it was all stone or marble. But in fact, it was only wax. So when the sun came out, you had a very damaged statue. And so they got in the custom, those who were sending something undamaged would put sine sera, see, this statue is without any wax. You can trust it to be the true blue, what it's supposed to be. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be people without wax, without any tampering of the truth when it comes to the truth. We want to tell it just like it is. Yeah.
So today we have a unique situation in communications with the Internet.
Yes, we do.
And in particular, blogging. And I think you have something you wanted to share with us about blogging.
I did, Tim. I'm not a blogger myself at this point, but I've learned some things about it. And there's been a priest in New Jersey that I love to read his articles. His name is Father Michael Orsi, and he's much more knowledgeable in this field. And he says in this article that I read, he says, priests, when they preach, they should be talking about the Internet. You know, that's a land of much danger. We can learn a lot on the Internet, but we can learn a lot of, there can be a lot of things there that are very dangerous. And blogging is a situation where we can create for myself an image that may not be my real self, but it's my self as I would like to see myself be. And we can do so much damage by putting out a false picture, and people can react to my blog without having to reveal who they totally are also. So that it's a land of almost fantasy, but it become people assume that they're picking up the truth here, and they can blogging is a way of getting information out that is many times not always the truth at all, and it can be very harmful to people. For example, it can take the form of cyberbullying, where we know that kids, especially that are maybe when they're just fascinated by this new ability they have, can put things out there about somebody they don't like. They want to make fun of them or something, and they can get on that internet and be blogging some really nasty things that aren't necessarily true at all. Mm-hmm. But other people pick it up and they pass it from one person to the other, and we know that some young people have committed suicide because they couldn't handle the shame of what was being said about them, even whether it was true or not. It was so embarrassing to them. They couldn't face going back to school with people they know blogging about them behind their back.
I think it's also important to know, too, Father, that sometimes just because we hear it on a newscast doesn't necessarily mean that it's true, or we read it in an article in the newspaper. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's 100% accurate.
You can say that again. And that, I'm glad you said that, because for those of us who might be involved in the media, whether as journalists or here on the radio or in television, what an obligation we have to give the truth where it's meant to be told. We too have an obligation to watch out, to be discreet and not give things just to titillate the listeners. Sometimes we will stretch the truth or say it in such a way as to try to catch listeners. But look at how many political campaigns are filled with, you know, innuendos and things that were really harming the reputation of people unjustly when we do that in the media. So you're right. That's a strong area of social obligation to tell the truth, but not truth that should not be told.
So what dangers result from the media?
Well, the calumny, the slandering of people can so easily be done in the media. We can seriously hurt people's reputations and cause them to just really be afraid of, the harm that it does to people and to the whole atmosphere of a school or an office or wherever this, when we start throwing out things, especially when it can be picked up anywhere around the world, you know, we have a tremendous obligation.
We talked about, while we were off air, about a bag of leaves being thrown to the wind and then being told, now go gather all those leaves and put them back in the bag. That's kind of when you say something to ruin somebody's reputation.
Because I have an obligation when I've told a lie to try to repair that. But how do you? When the leaves have gone out through the winds, how can you take back, you know, what you've said that was wrong? It's pretty hard to do.
Very difficult. So we always got to be careful about repeating what we hear and making sure. Yeah. I liked your idea of praying for somebody who's really struggling. Yeah. I think it's an opportunity for grace.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Well, we've been listening to Father Don Fite as we go through the UCAT, the Youth Catechism of the Catholic Church, and we've been going through the Ten Commandments. And today we've been talking about telling the truth and not bearing false witness, shall not bear false witness against our neighbor. For Faith with Father, this is your host, Tim Perry. Until next time, may God bless you. Bye for now.
This has been Faith with Father, a production of Living Bread Radio in Canton, Ohio. For an audio archive of this program, log on to livingbreadradio.com and click on Faith with Father. If you have a question or comment about today's program, email us at askfather@livingbreadradio.com. And join us again next time for another edition of Faith with Father.